Let's pray before we unpack God's word together. Lord God, take these words that I have prepared and use them to speak your truth afresh in our hearts and lives. May we listen and hear and understand, acting on them each day and being changed by them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I do begin. I don't know if you paid attention to the picture at the beginning of our service this morning, but there was the image of a sort of a mountainside, a snowy mountainside, and it looked like someone had set off an avalanche, so it was coming down. My question, have you ever flattened a mountain? I'm expecting that we might have some budding, I don't know, renovators around, but have you ever flattened a mountain? I really actually wanted to know if that was possible when I was reading these verses. And I kind of looked, and typical of my generation, I Googled it. And so I put in, can you flatten mountains? How do you do it? And what popped up, amazingly, was our Bible passage today. But also what came up was an article from 7 years ago where a certain country had been excavating, digging up 700 mountains in order to try and create more space for the cities. So flattening mountains is definitely a thing. It happens. And in our Bible reading that we have just read, Luke quotes from Isaiah that every mountain and hill will be made low and every valley filled in. And these are actions that, as I discovered when I was reading, that would have been done in preparation for a king's visit. So the roads that didn't exist, because they might have been hilly and rough terrain, there weren't particularly roads or highways back in the day, they would have constructed a road just so the king could go and visit that city. They would have dug out a mountain, they would have dug through and filled in all the valleys around so that the king could have a comfortable, safe passage to that city, to the visit that was being prepared for him. Any obstacle that would get in the way of that king having a smooth, safe journey was removed, smoothed out. This season of Advent is viewed as a season of preparation, of getting ready. We remind ourselves of Jesus first coming to earth as a baby as we get ready for Christmas. But also, Advent is an opportunity to remind ourselves that Jesus didn't stay a baby. He grew into a man who died and rose again to forgive sins and enable us to have a restored relationship with God right now. But not only that, Advent is a reminder that when Jesus ascended into the heavens, he promised he would be coming again. As we say in our creeds, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. You see, Jesus will return, and he will rule the new heavens and the new earth for all eternity. See, Jesus is God's promised king, the ruler of God's eternal kingdom. So we're going to explore today what that means for us. How can we get ready for the king? What mountains might we have to flatten for that to happen? See, Advent is being prepared. And over the next two Sundays, we're looking at John the Baptist, the one that by Luke is representing this person that is preparing the way for Jesus. Luke is presenting John the Baptist to us as someone preparing the way for Jesus, that Jesus would draw God's people back to himself. But before we focus on these six verses from Luke's Gospel chapter 3 today, I'm going to do a sort of a little bit of a whistle-stop tour of the first three chapters, because you see, Luke is putting all this into this context and really weaving together the lives of John and Jesus as being this part of God's plan in history to save his people, to bring them back to himself. You see, in the context of Luke's gospel, the Jewish people had been waiting for a promised king, someone they thought that would free them from the oppression of under Roman rule. In their past, the Jewish people had been occupied by Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians, Medes, Greeks, among others, and the prophets of the Old Testament had been sent by God to warn the Jewish people that they needed to seek forgiveness from God, that they once again to be called a people of God living under God's rule, they needed to come back to him. You see, they'd walked away. They'd stopped trusting him. And the old prophets indicated that a promised king from King David's line would be the person that would fulfill that bringing of God's people back to himself. And you see, for Luke, Jesus is that king. And in the first three chapters, he weaves together that this is the king that is coming. See, Luke is a very precise writer. In the first sort of chapter of his book, he says that I myself carefully investigated everything from the beginning. I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. See, Luke wants his readers, wants us to be completely certain of who Jesus is, of who John is preparing us for. In chapter 1, Luke tells the account of the prediction of John's birth. You see, John's dad, Zechariah, is told by an angel of the Lord in verse 13 of chapter 1 that your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Are we prepared? We then have the encounter with Mary and the angel and the promise that Jesus, in verse 31, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Once again, Luke is pointing us to who Jesus is and who John are. John preparing the way for Jesus, the Son of the Most High. And then we're back with Zechariah and Elizabeth as John is born, and Zechariah praises God. And in verse 76, we read, "And you, my child," talking about his son, "will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him." Then follows chapter 2, and we have the Christmas story and some accounts from Jesus' childhood. And then we get to chapter 3, to the start of our passage today. And this is a point in both John and Jesus' adult lives. And Luke sets it in its historical context with all those difficult names to pronounce. Well done for that, Barbara. But all those difficult names of those people that were in authority and had positions in the priesthood. See, Luke wanted to say that this is a specific point in history where John and Jesus were part of God's salvation plan. God wanted to bring his people back to him. And this is it, rolling into motion. Then we get to verse 2. And Luke declares that the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And Luke here is making clear connections between John and the Old Testament prophets, using the same phrasing, "the word of the Lord came." Luke wants us to be in no doubt, as we've said, that John is part of God's saving plan throughout history, wanting to bring people back into relationship with him. And what was John preaching? In verse 3 we read that it was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. See, John was calling on the Jewish people to repent, to acknowledge that they had turned their backs on God. And a sign of that was to be baptized for the purpose of showing God's forgiveness. You see, this would have been shocking to the Jews. You see, baptism occurred in those days, but it was used on Gentile converts to Judaism. And the Jews saw Gentiles as being unclean, and so they needed this ritual baptism cleansing to be able to convert to Judaism. And here, John is telling them that they too need to be baptized. John is putting them on the same level with the Gentiles. He's saying, you too need to repent. You need to turn back to God. I'm sure there would have been lots of rumbling. In fact, I know there was, and we might discover more about that as the chapter continues next week. But how do we get ready for the King? Getting ready for Jesus coming again involves repentance and the forgiveness of sins, removing obstacles that can disrupt us in our relationship with Jesus from getting right with him. For Luke, God's plan involved getting right with God, and it wasn't just for Jews, but God's forgiveness was being widened. It was being opened up to Jew and Gentile. And we see this by Luke's use of a longer quote from Isaiah chapter 40. And these are the words of Isaiah 40 that Luke has quoted. He says, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Luke emphasizes that all people will see God's salvation. Luke has interpreted John as being the one in the wilderness who is calling God's people to return to God. He knows his scriptures, he's read the prophet Isaiah, and he's seen John doing this preparation and preaching of forgiveness of sins and repentance. And Luke is telling us, John is the one that is pointing the way to Jesus. He wants them to be aware that they need to turn back to God, acknowledge God as King of their lives. And he wants them to know that Jesus is the revelation of God's glory for all people. So in these verses, Luke is telling his readers that John was a prophet who had come to point the way to Jesus, and that he prepared them by pointing out their need for repentance and forgiveness, showing that with the sign of baptism and pointing to Jesus as the one who would make that possible, the promised king. And the rest of Luke's gospel unfolds, showing that through Jesus' death and resurrection, and he makes forgiveness a reality if we confess and repent of our sins. And in the last chapter of Luke's gospel, just before Jesus ascends into the heavens, he's with his disciples. And he says this, he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Luke wants us to be certain that it is through Jesus, through repentance and forgiveness of sins, which his death and resurrection achieved, that all nations will be saved. That Jesus is the fulfillment of the promised king for all people. But what does that mean for us? In this period of Advent, when we think about Jesus coming again to judge the living and the dead, what do you need to do to get ready for the king? What mountains might need flattening? I wonder, do we need to seek forgiveness, asking Jesus to be part of our lives? Maybe we don't know him personally, and maybe there's something that's stirred in us today that we're like, I want that. It might be that you've never before thought about Jesus being king of your life, or even understand what that really means. If that is true of you, do come and talk to Paul and myself. We'd love to share more about what that means, that we can receive forgiveness if we invite Jesus into our lives to be king, if we say sorry and repent for not having him in our life, for not all the things that we don't get right, for not following how he wants us to live. So do come and speak to us if you want to explore more what it might mean to be a Christian and following Jesus and him being king of your life. What about those of us that have acknowledged that? Do we need to keep coming back to him and acknowledging the obstacles and things that get in the way from us connecting fully with him, from receiving the blessings that he wants to give us. What do we need to do to get ready for Jesus, our King? But not just in the future, not just when he returns and will judge the living and the dead, but how about now? Are we ready for Jesus shaping us, moulding us, being at work in our life? What things might be distracting us from living under God's rule? Maybe the mountains that are in the way, making it difficult to connect with Jesus. Maybe it's busyness in our life. Maybe we just have an incredible workload and it's hard. Maybe there's something in our past that kind of gets in the way, that stops us, that we can't quite make that full surrender to God, saying, yes, Jesus, be the King of my life fully, that we hold a corner back. Maybe it's a distracting relationship or a friendship or a kind of connection that just distracts us, that takes away our focus. I wonder whether this Advent we need to refocus on Jesus. We need to move the obstacles out of the way, flatten the mountains, fill in the valleys. Maybe we need to take time this Advent to remember God's saving work throughout history and God's saving work in our lives. That through reading his word, we can be reminded of God's salvation story and through our prayer and worship this Advent season. How are we getting ready for Jesus our King? Both today in our lives and looking to the future when Jesus returns, are we ready to face him, knowing that we've lived and walked alongside him in our life, loving others as he's loved us and serving wholeheartedly in whatever walk of life he's put us? How are we getting ready for the King? See, for us today, these verses teach us that we can be certain of Jesus' forgiveness of our sins and that Jesus is the King of our lives now and for all eternity. Isn't that great? Some aren't sure. I think it's great. He's our King. We can be certain of his love and care for us. And we can be certain that God, who fulfilled these promises about Jesus that Luke wants us to be clear about, that we can depend on him in every walk of our life. So how can we be ready for Jesus? Well, let us have repentant spirits, seeking to live dependent lives on him, on our God, and sharing the truth of Jesus' forgiveness for all peoples and nations, and that we would grow in our knowledge and love of God through reading the Bible, through prayer and through service of our King. So I make that our prayer. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we do pray that we would this Advent draw closer to you as you have drawn close to us, that we would acknowledge you as our King, Lord Jesus, that we would know you more deeply, that your love would overflow into our lives, that we would have time to take stock and refocus on you. In Jesus' name I pray, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.